Amen. Romans 8, 28. What a marvelous, marvelous passage. And I'm finding more and more as we traverse this few words, these few words. And hopefully you are as well. Brother Gary said that Mr. Biden has broken his foot. I'm studying again through the book of Job. And I found Mr. Biden in Job chapter number 20. You need to take time to read that chapter and then write his name right above it in your Bible. It is highly descriptive of this fellow. If you can find one of his pictures, put that in there beside me. You may find it extremely enlightening. And we know.
Yes.
What an assuring three words.
Yes.
And we know that all things, good, bad, and ugly,
yes,
all things work together. That means they fit together like synchronized gears. Did you ever have an old transmission and one of the gears broke off?
Oh, yeah.
Like a tractor going down the road. Then after a while, it just falls apart. Because the gears aren't synchronized. The gears aren't working together. But when the gears are working together, everything acts as it's supposed to.
Yes, sir.
And when we know that all things, what a tremendous passage to get in our head.
Oh, yeah.
For what's in front of us.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
This, I will say. But if it turns out that Mr. Biden goes in the White House, you better get it in your head.
Amen.
That all things work together
Amen.
For good.
Right.
Yes, sir.
To them.
Yes, sir.
That love God. To them who are the called.
Yes.
According to his purpose. We're dealing with those two words, the called, again tonight. Thank you, and you be seated. On last week, I said to you that this call is a powerful call. When God calls, things happen.
Amen.
It's a call of free grace. Didn't cost you a dime. Not one dime.
That's right.
You didn't even know it was going to happen.
That's right.
You didn't have it in your periscope. It wasn't on your horizon. You probably had no idea that God would ever call you.
Amen.
But if you're saved tonight, you've been called by the marvelous Amen. Grace of God.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a free grace call. And it is a discriminating call. Not everyone is called. But some are.
Amen. Yes.
And thank God for the some that are. We'll look at that a bit more in another thought tonight. Then I said to you, it is an unchanging call. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
Yes.
Amen.
God calls you, you are called. God blots out our sins, not our name.
Amen.
You're right.
And those that preach the contrary just do not know this book.
Amen.
They refuse to believe what they know of. And as far as I know, that makes them unbelievers.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when an individual has carried his Bible for a while and can't believe that, I have a real hard means of trying to say brother to such a one.
Amen.
Now, I understand folks that get confused. But if you've been in this book for any amount of time at all, and you don't know that God's blotted out your sins rather than your name.
Yes.
Amen.
Then you haven't learned much.
Amen.
You need to go to the teacher. You have the same teacher I do.
Yep. Same place.
The good Holy Ghost. Just tell him to put you back in Believers 101.
Amen.
Pick it up and go again.
Amen.
Get it together.
Yes.
Tonight I want to come to some other thoughts dealing with the attributes of this call. In 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 10, the scripture calls it a call to glory. Let's look at that. It's before us here. But the God of all grace, what a marvelous statement right there. But the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory. Did you get that?
Yes.
Eternal glory. Can I say one more word about the thought of the unchanging God one more time? Look at that again. God calls us to eternal glory.
Amen.
Not temporary glory.
Right.
Eternal glory.
Amen.
God doesn't do anything temporarily.
Amen.
What he does is eternal.
Amen.
Yes.
And the call of God to his children is a call to glory. But it's a call to eternal glory.
Yes.
Not glory for a week or a month or so on, but for eternity. By Christ Jesus. Watch this now. After that you've suffered a while. Do you realize that you're called to suffer?
Yeah.
Amen.
When we get the idea that God saved us and everything from there on is a rose garden, then you're believing a falsehood.
Amen.
Now, why do I say that? Let me give you a little history as to why I say that. You're not going to pay for your sin in eternity. But God lets us pay for it here.
Amen.
With stripes.
Amen.
With correction.
Yes. Amen.
Remember, if you're without correction, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
Amen.
Well, that's not a bad word. As a matter of fact, it is a beautiful word.
Amen.
When it's used in the right context. And often I've used this term that we have more bastard church members than we do firstborn church members.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so a lot of folks look at you cross-eyed when you say that. But it's so.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, don't you think we have the same Father as those who do not believe this thing is eternal?
Amen.
I'm drawing some lines, and you may not want to step across it, but the facts are there. This book tells us plainly that we are eternally saved.
Amen.
Not just for a
Amen.
While.
Yes. Amen.
And again, God has blotted out our sins, not our names.
Amen.
So he's called us to eternal glory. By Christ Jesus, after we've suffered a while, to make us perfect and establish us, or establish as the King James has it, strengthen and settle you.
Amen.
God puts us through some things so he can teach us to be settled in our mind, strengthened in our spirit, and wisdom as a part of our lives, knowing that God is God and He is in control of our destiny.
Amen.
Yes.
I hear people say all the time, you're in control of your destiny.
No.
Well, if you are, you're going to hell.
Amen.
Straight up. If you're in control of your destiny, you are bound for the lake of fire. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
God is in control of our destiny. So after we've suffered a while, after God has taken us through some things, and we've become content in Him. Now you'll never be content in Him until you go through some circumstances, some problems, some trials along the way.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And in that, God then settles us in the fact that, hey, look at here. He's done it again.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
He's done it again.
Yes.
Trials will never destroy you.
Amen.
Never. Trials in the sight of God brings out the best in them.
Amen.
Yes.
But for the unbeliever, it brings out the worst in them.
Amen.
Just as temptation.
Yes.
Same thing. It brings out the best in the child of God.
Amen.
But it always brings out the worst in the sinner.
Amen.
So as God has called us to eternal glory, so we can go through some things in this old world.
Amen.
And bring us to the point of where we are like that old carnation commercial that I told you about from years ago. When the cows are standing there in the shade, chewing the cud, and its deep bass voice says, "Carnation, the milk from contented cows."
Amen.
Well, that's what we become.
Yes, sir.
We become content in Him because God has taken us to the green grass, taken us to the still water. Now He's taken us to the shade, and we're confident in Him, knowing that He will provide for us in every circumstance.
Amen.
Because He is the God who has called us to eternal glory. Call from the quagmires to heavenly places and positions. To enjoy, just to enjoy the things of God.
Amen.
Do you ever feel sorry for folks who can't enjoy what you enjoy along the way?
Oh, yeah.
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
I wish. Now, I'm kind of like Paul here. I wish that all of my countrymen would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to go as far as he did because I just don't have that kind of will to do that. I don't want to perish so they can get saved. Say amen, not that.
Amen.
But I know I won't.
Right.
Paul knew he wouldn't.
Right.
But the desire in my heart is that all might be saved.
Amen.
But I have sense enough to know that it's not going to happen.
Amen.
And this Bible never says it's going to happen. By the way, it doesn't even hint in that direction.
No.
Jesus came to save His people from their sins.
Amen.
But He calls us to this glory that we could never experience without this call.
Amen.
Then in the sixth place, it's a scarce call. In Matthew chapter 22, verse number 14, I've quoted this time and time again. But the text says that many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
Many called, few chosen. Read the context of that passage. You're going to find that there's a banquet. A marriage supper, literally, a wedding. And the householder has prepared this meal. And the guests are invited. And when he goes to look at the guest, he finds that one that does not have on the wedding garment. And he approaches him and says, "Why are you here without a wedding garment?" And the scripture says that the individual is silent. He can't answer. By the way, let me assure you of this. This crowd that tells me that they're going to talk God into this, that, and the other to judgment seat, and that they're going to tell God this, that, and the other, let me tell you what they're going to do. Exactly what this gentleman does, nothing. Amen. They will not open their mouths.
Amen.
And they will be cast out just like this one was.
Amen.
And Jesus said, "Many are called, but few are chosen." If you're chosen, you better thank God you are.
Amen.
Yes.
Because it is by no virtue of your own whatsoever. It is by the grace of the Lord God Almighty. Called, chosen out of a crowd, if you will.
Amen.
Now let me ask you this. Let's just be sensible for a minute. As well as trying to be spiritual. Sometimes you can't hardly do that. But listen to this. When you go to buy an automobile, do you get the one you want?
Smart you do.
Probably not.
I mean, you get the one that you can afford that you want, right?
Amen.
And there are multitudes of cars sitting there. Now, I could walk my wife onto a car lot and I could guarantee you which one she'd go for.
Amen.
I know the color she wants. And most of the time, if it's not that color, don't even look at it. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
You make choices every day. You go to the grocery store, you get the groceries you want. You get the cereal you want to eat. You get what you want. You choose out of many what you want.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, if God gives you that ability, then why don't you give God that ability?
Amen. Go ahead. Amen.
Yeah. Good there.
God in heaven has the right to choose whom he will.
Amen.
He's the potter. He has the right to make of the same lump of clay a vessel to honor and a vessel to dishonor. Read Romans chapter 9. Then go over and read Romans chapter 11. You need to do that as an assignment this week. Read those two chapters. If you come out of those chapters and are an unbeliever in the work of God by himself, then you don't know the Spirit of God.
Amen.
What marvelous passages God gives us to prove the truth.
Amen.
Romans, but let's do something. Put Romans chapter 11 up there for me. We'll start at the first. Oh, watch this. I say then, hath God cast off his people? Now there's a question. Has God cast off his people? That's what a lot of folks say God does. God forbid.
Yeah.
Not so.
No, sir.
Never happened. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. There's a word that trips up a lot of folks. Want you not what the scripture saith to Elias, how that he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets, dig down thine altars, and I'm left alone. I'm the only one alive, he said, and they seek my life. Now watch this. But he said, the answer of God unto him, or but what said the answer of God to him? I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
Yeah.
Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. You need to get that word in your head. There is a remnant. That is a part of.
Yeah.
It's not the whole. Yeah. A part of. Get it? a part of.
Yes.
A remnant according to the election of grace. Two words in that passage, you need to know what they mean. Remnant and election. Can you do that?
Yes.
Amen.
Just get it in your head. Now watch this. And if by grace, then no more of works. If God does this by grace, then it can't possibly be of works. Now watch this. Otherwise, grace is no more grace.
Right.
You see, if it's works, then it's not grace. And by the way, look at me. Motor oil and water do not mix.
Man.
Grace and works do not mix. God's grace does it for us. We don't have to help him.
Amen.
Say it again. God's grace does it for us.
Amen.
We don't have to help him.
Amen.
You can't help him. It's impossible for you to help him.
Amen.
You're dead in trespasses and sin. What can a dead man do?
Amen.
Three things. Besides play dead. Number one, he can hear the voice of God. Lazarus, come forth. He can feel the touch of God. He touched.
Amen.
The widow Nain's son. And he can hear the trump of God.
Amen.
How about those eyes?
Man.
And you thought dead men couldn't do anything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, let's get back to this. It's not of works. If it's works, then grace is nullified. If it's grace, then works is nullified. That's that simple. Then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Let's go on. Let's get another verse. Get this one. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Get the word. But the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded. Well, I didn't know that was in that Bible. I know it. That's why I'm here.
Amen.
All you got to do is just read it.
Amen.
Somebody point it out to you and you'll say, well, is that really in my Bible? Some of you folks in the car right now have got your lights off and can't see. You're wondering, is that really in my Bible?
Amen.
Well, if it's in mine, it's in yours.
Man.
Unless you got one of them crooked things.
Amen.
If you got one of them crooked books, you need to take it back. They won't take it back. They won't. That's how much they think of it. They won't take it back.
Amen.
Those things you just find a garbage can.
All right. Amen.
And once you throw it in there, tie it off and go ahead and get rid of it because you don't need that mess around.
Amen.
Say amen not that.
Amen.
Anyhow. Alright, so it is a scarce call. Not everybody. Some are partakers of grace. Others are blinded.
Amen.
Is that what the book says?
Amen.
Sure as God made little green apples. So it's a call to glory and it's a scarce call. You're going to love this. It is an irresistible call.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Now just hold, you folks in the cars, tie yourself down with a seatbelt. You folks out here, just kind of settle in a minute. I want to tell you something. God's call is irresistible.
Amen. Amen. Yep.
When God calls, you move.
Amen.
I mentioned Lazarus a few moments ago, just by passing. Dead men can hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Let's go back to the tomb side just a moment. there at tombside, our Lord told him to roll the stone away. Now look up here. He didn't have to have the stone rolled away.
Amen.
He could roll the stone away, or he could have called Lazarus out of there. The sister said, Lord, he's a stinker.
Amen.
If you've ever been to Israel, you know the climate. 4 days in that climate, anything's wrong. I'd often wondered how people survive in those open air meat markets. Buying meat in an open air meat market on the street in Jerusalem. Oh yeah, not a grocery store. Nowadays they have grocery stores, but those open air meat markets, that meat just hung right up there for everybody to look at and handle. And you go up there and tell them, I'd like a few steaks off of that right there. And they go to cutting it off. You take it home. If you have good sense, you feed it to the dog.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Listen carefully. When God called Lazarus, he simply said, Lazarus, come forth. Now the text says Lazarus came forth.
Amen.
Right. Bound in grave clothes.
Yeah.
You see, there's two miracles here. The first one is he comes alive, and the second one is he came out of there in grave clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you know anything about the way they mummified them, really.
Right.
And he's wrapped in those grave clothes. There's no way in the world he could walk. Not in 40 worlds. No way he could walk. And he didn't come hopping out of there either. No, no, no. He came out of there by the same power that said Lazarus,
amen,
come forth.
Yes. Amen.
So in order for Lazarus to come forth, he has to come alive. And then he comes out of there, and Jesus said, loose him.
Amen.
And let him go.
Yeah.
Man.
Dead men can hear the voice of God.
Amen.
And when Lazarus heard the voice, he got out of the tomb.
Man.
You, when God found you and God called you, you were dead in trespasses
Amen.
And sins. You were without any hope in this world. And when God called you, you answered.
Amen.
When God zeroed the call in on you, you answered.
Amen.
Now why did you answer? Your rebellious heart was broken.
Amen.
Your ears that couldn't hear began to hear.
Amen.
Your eyes that couldn't see began to see.
Yes.
Amen.
Your heart began to feel things that you never knew was a possibility. God fingered around that heart, and just as he by his own finger wrote in stone the law, God wrote in stone, wrote in that old stony heart, the name Jesus Christ, and gave you a heart that would be mummified and useful for the glory of God.
Amen.
Now you're not what you used to be.
Amen. Man.
Work this one over. It'll take you a while to agree with me, but you'll agree when we get to heaven anyway.
Amen.
You can't love until God changes your
Amen.
Heart.
Amen.
You're right.
Now you can have a natural affection, but you'll never love until Amen. God changes your heart.
Amen.
Think that over. How many people have you said to, I love you, and how many people have said to you, I love you, and they wouldn't know how to love no more than a bullfrog would know how to fly an airplane.
Amen.
Why? Because they don't have a heart that is capable of love.
Right.
Until God changes your heart, you cannot love.
Amen.
Amen.
You can have natural attractions, but that's what animals have. Hello.
Amen.
And you're welcome. And listen, I've got that very statement right there got me into more conversations, I guess, than anything else. So let me help you now, and don't come to me.
Amen.
A dog loves a dog because it's a dog.
Yes.
Amen.
A chicken loves a chicken because they're chickens. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
And the same thing is true in the natural world. If you're a natural being, you can have natural affections, but you can't have love.
Right. Amen.
Because you never experience love until love breaks your heart.
Amen.
And changes you from what you were. You may resist the call of the preacher, but you won't resist the call of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
When the Holy Ghost starts down your row, you're going to come in.
Yeah.
Amen.
A colored preacher from years gone by has already gone to glory. But he tells a story about he was playing in the road. And his sister came out of the house and said, "You better get out of that road." He said, "I just kept playing in the road." A few minutes she came back out and she said, "I said for you to get out of that road." He said, "I just kept playing in the road." But then he said, she came out the third time and she said, "Mama, say you better get out of that road." He said, "I got out of that road."
Amen.
See? It's all in who says.
Yes, sir.
It's all in who calls. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, you can listen to the preacher all night long and never turn to God. But when the Holy Ghost begins to prick your heart, you're going somewhere.
Yes.
God will not be resisted.
Amen.
Paul was a hardened sinner. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "The chief of sinners."
Amen.
Pretty high up the line, isn't it? God broke his heart.
Amen.
God broke his heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got my own ideas where all this stuff started. I think it started with Stephen's testimony. I don't think it had to be in the Bible if it weren't otherwise. When Stephen was testifying and Paul was there to give his consent that he be stoned, and Stephen cried that he saw the Lord Jesus standing at the Father's right hand.
Amen.
I almost guarantee you that the Holy Ghost did.
Yes, sir.
One of the arrows of grace purged the heart or pierced the heart of
Amen.
Saul, the church destroyer. And then on the road to Damascus, it didn't take but one confrontation.
Amen.
That's right.
Right.
One confrontation. "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?"
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God knows what he's doing. And I promise you, he gets the job done.
Amen.
The God of all power not be diverted from his plan.
Amen.
To save his people from their sins.
Amen.
Man's stubborn will is no match for a sovereign God.
Amen.
Put that down.
Amen.
Your stubborn will not stand up to the sovereignty of the Lord God Almighty. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3, God speaks light into existence. What was there before light? Do you know that darkness didn't have to be created? It was just there.
Right.
And do you understand that darkness in your heart didn't have to be created? It was just there.
Amen.
God said in all of that darkness, "Let there be light." And there was
light.
When God comes upon the darkness of your soul and says, let there be light, you'll never walk in darkness again.
Amen.
You'll never be the same again.
Amen.
Now, God Almighty, in spite of your eyes being closed, said, let there be light. And there was light. And when God brings light, you get out of this ignorance of sin and ungodliness and religion and come to Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord. Yes.
The light only leads in one direction. I used to tell those young preachers, here is your course of action. When God gives you light, respond to that light.
Yes.
If you do not respond to that light, God will leave you there in that darkness.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Respond to the light.
Absolutely.
That God gives you.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you're going to be in darkness.
Amen.
Yes. Blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, and hard hearts are broken and replaced.
Amen.
With a heart that can love. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 10, I had a time running that down just a few moments ago. But the scripture says, my counsel shall stand. Here it is. He got it up. Look at this. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he hath mercy on them, shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Let's go. Wrong one. Now, here it is. God's declaring the end from the beginning. Before it ever starts, before things ever come to pass, God declares it from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Watch this, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
That's God.
Man.
He does as he will, according to his own will,
amen,
not ours.
Amen.
When God uses that example through the Apostle Paul of the potter and the clay, that potter has the power over the clay. But the difference between God and you and the potter and the clay is that God made the clay as well as the potter.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes.
The potter only can take the clay and make from the clay what he wants. But he has that ability to do so. Then God has the ability to take the clay that he made, and then made man therefrom, and to make from that man a vessel to honor or a vessel to dishonor.
Amen.
Now, when people read that text, they automatically get mad at God.
Amen.
You know why they get mad at God? Because they think that's their job. I've got to do this. If I don't do this, no, God does
Amen.
This. And God chooses a vessel to honor, and he chooses a vessel to dishonor.
Amen.
That's God. It's his right to do so. Since God spoke light into existence, there's always been light.
Man.
Yet not everyone
Man.
Has seen the light.
Amen.
Man.
You see, if God doesn't open your eyes, you can't see the light.
Amen.
You can't respond to light. Once God opens your eyes.
Amen.
And you begin to see.
Yes.
I want to close with this, and I want you to listen carefully to what I'm saying. There are multiplied thousands of Bible toters. But there are really few Bible believers.
Amen. That's right.
And if a man has carried his Bible for some period of time and has read it.
Amen.
Now see, you can carry it and never read it.
Amen.
And has read his Bible. He will come to this truth that we're talking about right here. He'll come to the truth of knowing that God does as he will.
Amen.
And God chooses whom he will, thus saving whom he will.
Amen.
Because he's God.
Amen.
And the man that fails to come to that life is nothing more than an ignorant Bible toter.
Amen.
He's not a Bible believer. He's a Bible toter.
Amen.
An ignorant Bible toter. I was speaking to a young preacher some time back. And he said, I just have a real problem with that. I said, I know. I don't want anybody to have it. Because it assaults you.
Right.
It assaults your place in your position in salvation. It says to you that you did nothing. It says to you that you had to be mined from the quagmires of this old world. It says to you that without God there is no hope on your behalf. Now Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse number 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Amen. Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's who Jesus prayed for in John 17.
Sure it was.
All that the Father had given.
Amen. Amen.
And everyone that the Father has given him is going to come to him because this is the plan of God.
Yes, absolutely.
Now because that is so, and because argument after argument will come to you if you even mention it. That young preacher said to me, he said, now Brother Larry, said, I just preach the gospel.
Amen.
And here's what I said to him. When, sir, will you begin?
Amen.
Now, you could say, now, Brother Larry, I'm just going to believe the gospel. I'm going to say to you, when, man?
Amen.
When, sir, are you going to begin?